listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
Like Scat Buck, ooh, 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 you got me bebopping too.
Say, hey, E, who bops you? You say something
that's new. Hey, hey, E, ooh, 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 I'm bebopping too. I hear it every day, no matter where I go. When I come home late at night, there you sit with it on your radio.
Say, hey, E, who bops you? Always reminds me of you.
Hey, ee, ooh, 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 I'm bebopping too.
Good evening, gaydies and lentlemen, and what, I mean, ladle men and mental, gentlemen to lady men, and welcome to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Don't you hate it when your tongue runs out of batteries like that? Anyways, that's Athens, folks. Johnny Athens. A young lady called me Athens, and while it's the thought that counts, she also says Leonard Cahan. Anyhow, we have a wonderful show for you this evening, and I hope you'll enjoy it. It is our premiere show, so we're all excited, and we have plenty of people at the waiting, ready to fire away their criticism, and quite frankly, the boys in the ratings department can hardly wait. For our premiere, we put as much as we could into the hour. We've got a sketch by the Wild Ride Troupe, an interview with an acclaimed animal surgeon, Kitty's Corner with our own Kitty Wilnicki, and featuring tonight, our house band is Dizzy Gillespie and his orchestra. So here they are to start us off in the evening. Dizzy Gillespie and his orchestra with Cubana B, Cubana Bop.
Thank you.
Cubana B, Cubana Bop indeed, very reminiscent of Cuba. You can practically choke on the smoke from Fidel's cigar while you're getting thrown off that bus. Tonight for our first show on TV, they call it a pilot, but on radio we call it a plane. There's a lot of turbulence and everyone just wants to leave when it's over. We asked ourselves, what would you, the listener, want? What makes a good premiere? We needed something with oomph, something with wow, something with pizzazz, something to make a grand impression. Unfortunately, we couldn't come up with anything like that, so instead we have this. And after asking too many questions and coming up with absolutely no answers, we instead decided to tell a story of how a certain question, perhaps even what some consider to be the question, came to be. And to tell this story, I ask for you to come back with me, let's say 100 years, and go to 1921. A man looks out a window onto Toronto's ever-growing Lower East Side. The building, run down, very brown. It's probably made out of wood. Humdinger Publishers. The man, tired, stingy, overwhelmed, overworked, much like that one uncle every Christmas Eve. The question, why'd the chicken cross the road? So without further ado, here's the Wild Ride Troupe performing for you, Why'd the Chicken Cross the Road? Thank you. Oh, five already. Where's the time gone? Charles! Charles! Hurry up with that. The draft is due in an hour.
Here they are, sir.
Charles, must you be such a klutz?
I'm sorry, sir. So sorry. It's just been a long day.
Yes, it has been. And it will be even longer if you don't hurry up. You know how these writers get if the magazine is not on schedule. If the humdinger is even half a moment late, they will have my head. And they won't stop there.
I'm sorry, Mr. Athens. I'll get your coffee.
What a mess that boy. I swear, sometimes, I don't know why I hired him. His writing is terrible, and the poor boy can't even make a decent cup of coffee. It makes tap water at Jerry Garcia's house look appetizing.
Anything else, sir?
No, that's all. Hold it! Charles?
Yes, Mr. Athens?
What is this?
What's what?
That's why I'm asking. Here, why did the Phasiandi trek from the rotisserie on their yonder hill of poppies? What's this kerfuffle? Now, what in the name of Sweet Mama Popeye is that supposed to mean?
It's a riddle, sir.
A riddle?
Yes. You told me just last week that I could write one riddle for this next edition.
I did?
Yes, Mr. Athens.
And this is your riddle?
Yes.
And what's the answer?
Don't baste your turkey on Thursdays.
What? Now, how in the world is anyone supposed to understand that? What even is a faziande?
It's a poultry.
Well, anyhow, I don't like it.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Why did the Phasiandi trek from the rotisserie on their yonder hill of poppies?
That's right. I don't like Phasiandis or whatever they're called. Your poultry.
Does that mean you're not going to print it? I worked so hard.
Hard work alone does not merit a place in my magazine. It must be worthy as well. And most importantly, I must like it. Otherwise, what kind of an editor would I be?
A fair one.
I'm sorry, Charles, but I just think this particular riddle is, well, absolute trash. If you can come up with another one within the hour, I will consider printing it. Otherwise, there is always next month.
There's no way I'd come up with another one in an hour. Are you sure you don't want to consider this one?
If people today don't understand the Irishman, how can you expect them to understand turkeys and poppies?
Just because you didn't understand the Irishman does not mean others didn't understand it.
Well, then explain to me how Robert De Niro can go from 77 to 27 without an ounce of anti-aging cream. Meanwhile, people think I'm 35, but I'm only 20.
Mr. Athens, that's because you listen to music older than my grandparents, dress like an Edwardian shopkeep, and do your hair like Douglas Dankworth.
And who exactly is Douglas Dankworth?
The editor that died 3 weeks ago.
Douglas Dankworth died in December? What happened?
He drowned in the Danube.
Douglas Dankworth drowned in the Danube last December?
Yes, and he was delirious when he came up.
A delirious Douglas Dankworth drowned? Oh, enough! No matter, I am not publishing this riddle.
Do you even understand it?
How dare you question my understanding?
What I mean is, will you let me tell the story behind it?
We haven't the time.
Please, Mr. Athens. It will only take a minute or two. Maybe after I explain it, you'll understand, like it better.
All right. Fine. You have 2 minutes to convince me that this riddle is indeed a valuable addition to this edition. Although I'm not sure how much that's going to do.
Thank you, Mr. Athens. You see, it all started on a Monday morning. I was running late.
You're always running late.
I was coming down Fennel Avenue between Upper James and Wentworth, I think, when all of a sudden this thing appeared out of nowhere and ran across the road, nearly tripping me.
Doesn't take much to do that.
This thing I could not see ran right in front of me. What had made me slip? How was I to do? Just what had interrupted my Monday morning trip? When I looked up, I was left stricken, for I had feast my eyes upon one gallant little chicken.
A chicken?
I witnessed as it strode, and was left to ponder, why did the Faziendi trek from their yonder hill of poppies?
That makes no sense.
Exactly.
I thought this was about turkeys.
No, Mr. Athens, this is about a riddle.
I meant I thought the riddle was about turkeys. Oh, you know what I mean.
I think generalizing as Faziendi makes it more open for everyone. After all, not everybody eats turkey. A riddle should be inclusive.
Yes, maybe that's so, but I don't recall any special Faziendi sandwich. Faziendi's going 2-on-2 by the arc.
Let me finish. I asked around town, why would the chicken cross the road? The people, they answered. The butcher, he said.
The butcher?
To avoid my knife.
His knife?
The husband, he said to flee from the wife.
The husband's wife?
The grocer, he said to get the grain. The baker, he said because he's a pain. The maid, she said to see what it's like.
The maid?
The worker, he said going on strike. The poet, he said, I don't know why, and you know what?
What?
Neither did I. Why does a chicken cross the road? Where could he possibly go? The bartender said to go get a pint. But the painter was might bright. He had the great idea. What if the chicken simply crossed to get to the other side? And I thought that this story would make a great riddle.
But does it? I still don't know that I like it.
But Mr. Athens...
Don't you, but Mr. Athens, me. You're young.
But I'm 6 years older than you.
Don't worry, you'll grow out of that. You'll learn, you'll see that this world is bigger than chickens and turkeys. You need to know why the sky is blue or the grass is green before you can ask why the chicken crossed the road.
But I want to know.
What do you want to know, my boy? I will tell you.
Why is it you won't publish my riddle?
Now stop it! Your riddle is simply horrendous!
Mr. Athens, what if there's some way I can fix it?
Buddy, I think this thing is far beyond repair. You're way off the deep end. Now leave me be. I've got to finish up this copy.
Wait! I have one more thing to say about the riddle.
Please, enough of the birds and the butchers.
What if instead of, why did the Faziendi trek from the rotisserie on their yonder hill of poppies, we do something simpler?
Simpler? Like what?
How about, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why? That's even worse than before. Nobody will understand that. Nobody will remember it. People will think it's a joke. Everybody will laugh at it.
Well, you're not exactly offering any help, mister. Your riddles are bad.
All right. Fine. Maybe something like, how does the grounded bird stroll around, eh? Now that is educated.
That's worse than before. Talk about a laughingstock.
What? Out! Out!
Please, Mr. Athens, please, one more thing.
I've had enough of these childish chicken antics for one day.
I was thinking, what if the chicken is everything?
What do you mean, man?
What if the chicken crossing the road is like everything? The same as the reason we do anything. Like why we print a magazine every month.
We print the magazine because people read it.
But is that why? Is that why people read? What if the chicken crossed the road just because others did before him? Just because it's all he knew how to do?
Charles, are you suggesting that this riddle is akin to the great question of the universe?
I don't know. What is the great question of the universe?
For what purposes do we do the things we do throughout our life? You know, the meaning of life.
Then I guess I am.
Oh, hogwash.
What?
I still don't like it. Come up with another one for next month, and then we'll see.
But Mr...
No. You go finish cleaning the typewriters. You may go home when you're done.
Yes, sir. I'll see you tomorrow.
Now, where was I? Yes. Why did the chicken cross the road? A riddle by... Johnny Athens.
Jump to the bar, jump to the bar, jump to the bar.
The new year has just begun, and I'd say so far we're off to a great start. You know, the finance minister resigned within the first week, which means we're going to have 3 more weeks of winter. But at any rate, I find more New Year's programming to be rather passé, so I propose an idea, toast to the average Canadian. You see, celebs hog all the attention on New Year's, celebrating the great year they had, having lavish parties, singing Imagine, winning humanitarian awards for isolating on their 100-acre property. So I gathered testimonies from folks across Canada, ordinary men and women, stories of vigor and vim highlighting the grand achievements and humble humanitarian acts. And here are just some of what they had to say. Von Klegelhorn from Salmonarm, BC wrote, "Dear frontline workers, we wish to take ye opportunity to thank ye personally for ye self-sacrificing work. Is he from New Jersey or BC? The pandemic has no doubt made ye work more challenging and even put ye and ye family at risk. Please be assured that ye work doesn't go unnoticed. Ariana Grande says, I've been drinking coffee, I've been eating healthy. You know I keep it squeaky, saving up my energy. This is certainly true of all frontline workers who generously give of themselves to support others in the community. If you have a moment, please visit us. We are very lonely in BC. It is cold and damp." Well, thank you very much, Vaughn. I'm sure the rest of the country feels the same. Thank you. Might want to take a throat lozenge. Well, moving on. We also have a recording sent in by Lauren Dakotas, a poem she wrote about the pandemic and having to be locked up at home during these time in quarantine.
This coronavirus sucks. It is not okay. But the weather has been nice. The skies have not been gray. The stores have all been closed. People lost their jobs. The only people getting money are people in the mobs. Yes, I can go outside. I just can't see my friends. I'm pretty sure my mom thinks this is a giant cleanse. Yes, it has been bad. That is very true. But at least I haven't caught this weird virus flu. There isn't much to do. I've gotten really bored. At least I don't have 50 rolls of toilet paper stored. This has been a great poem. It has come to an end. But now this... But how this virus came from bat soup, I cannot comprehend.
A lovely poem indeed. And here's another story, this time from a Dane. And this one will tell jokes. A Dane telling jokes, that's a novel thought. No, folks, Victor Borge. He's a comedian from across the pond in Denmark, and tonight for us here, he will be telling us about his experience in learning the English language from a non-native English language speaker. Here he is, the Clown Prince of Denmark, Victor Borge.
Then, in 1940, I luckily arrived in the United States, unable to speak a word of English, of course, which was a handicap because I found most people over here do. And I tried to learn the language, and I got along as time and a half went by, and I picked up a few words here and there, mostly there because I hadn't been here yet. But I found that people who speak English sometimes do not understand each other too well, due to the fact that they do not use punctuation marks when they talk. And that... Thank you. That is why I invented phonetic punctuation, which means that while we talk, we will integrate punctuation marks by giving them sounds, so that we can underline our sentences as well when we speak as we do when we read and or write. I'll teach you the system. A period sounds like this. Here is a dash. An exclamation point is a vertical dash with a period underneath. Here is a comma. Quotation are two commas. If you happen to be left-handed... Question mark is rather difficult to... Finally, the colon. The two little dots. You know, you can put them either over or under each other. That is the sound for the colon. I have a book here, and I'm going to read to you a short story so you can hear how this system really sounds. This book was written by Shakespeare this time. Johann Sebastian Shakespeare. This is a pickpocket edition, by the way. I have a short story right here in the beginning of the book. Here it is on page 2. In the open window, there suddenly came light. Beautiful Elinor sat alone, dreaming of but one thing. Two years had passed since she met Sir Henry. She could still remember the unhappy evening when her father had thrown him out. They had been sitting in the park, and Henry had said, "Darling." "Is this the first time you have loved?" She had answered, "Yes." "But it is so wonderful that I hope it will not be the last." It's getting a little messy. Suddenly she heard a well-known sound. It was he. In two strides, he was near her, embraced,
kissed and caressed her. Henry! What is love? She asked. He answered, well, I couldn't live without it. She asked, I'm sorry, where have all your thoughts been this while? He answered, with thee, my maiden. Suddenly he was gone. All she hoyed heard was the well-known sound of his departing horse.
Over the next several weeks on this program, I wanted to share with you one of my favorite historics of radio, Jack Benny's Golden Memories of Radio, hosted by Jack Benny and Frank Knight, and produced by the Long Island Symphonette Recording Society. The series delves into the best part of radio's golden age, its influence on television, and although recorded over 70 years ago, it poignantly points out some of the effects that are still with us today. But I won't spoil it all for you here. I'm sure you're tired of hearing from me this hour. So here is Jack Benny and his golden memories of radio.
Again, this is Jack Benny welcoming you on behalf of the Longines Symphonette for a warm visit to a magic world and to a golden treasure chest of memory, entertainment, excitement, drama, and world history. Yep, we are going to explore the world of golden radio. I was part of radio as it developed, just as I am part of television. I share with Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Red Skelton, George Burns, Lucille Ball, Arthur Godfrey, and many others a common heritage in radio. I'd like to help you enjoy again those nostalgic moments when the family gathered together in the living room to share the make-believe world of radio. We will look in on comedy, drama, suspense, news, and the people who made it all possible. By the nature of radio, we as performers shared with you, our listeners, the creative best in our lives. We worked together, and for that reason, radio became part of our growing up together. Before we get started, though, I'd like to tell those of you who are just discovering the golden days of radio how it differs from today's television. Radio was really do-it-yourself television. Instead of a big, ugly glass picture tube, you saw the performers in your own mind. You were not restricted by the boundaries of a 21-inch tube, but instead painted your own big-as-life version of each moment with that loving, creative brush we call imagination. Now, just in case you're out of practice, here's a little test to demonstrate the power of your imagination.
Now, don't open that door, McGee.
Didn't you see that fabulous closet just as clearly as though it was on the largest full-color television screen imaginable? Why, every time McGee opened that door, a million Americans saw a closet in their own homes. Now let's try a more ambitious test of your imaginative power. And as we do, we'll start our sentimental journey back to the golden years of radio, when that instrument was a golden cornucopia from which poured the wealth of the greatest entertainers in history. Here is Bing Crosby on his Philco Radio Time show the night he entertained two guests.
Let me alone. I'll get it.
Just a minute. Hey, say, you. Huh? Have you ever played this number before, Bub?
Played it? I made it.
Well, I should have known Jack Benny. Well, I certainly expected you tonight, Jack. I expected you over, but I didn't expect to find you in the orchestra.
I can't understand it. I've never played so poorly.
Oh, cheer up, Jack. Sure you have.
Thanks, kid. But I practiced all morning to limber up. I even washed my fingers in Duzz. Duzz doesn't do it. I'm dead.
You better switch to Wheaties, kid. But, Jack, I thought Mary was going to come with you. Where is she?
Oh, she stopped by the Musicians Union to pay my dues.
Do you belong...
You belong to the Musicians Union?
Don't act so shocked.
Well, I've never heard anything like
that. Of course I belong to the Musicians Union. I'm one of the charter members. You see, years ago I had a little band. We all joined together.
Oh, I know the group well. A fife, a drum, and a guy with a bandage around his head.
So far, I've had nothing. Look, I don't mean the spirit of 76. My band was called Jack Benny and His Sizzling Gobblers.
Sizzling Gobblers?
That's the line they gave me.
Yeah.
We specialized in turkey trot.
That's the line. That's the line. And I bet your drummer had drumsticks that were really drumsticks.
Yeah, he used to drive me crazy with that munching during my solo. Can't understand it. Bill Morrow used to write for me. Bing, what I wanted to see you about is a business proposition.
Yeah.
What are you going to do this summer?
I'm going to take a vacation.
Well, I've got an idea where you and I could combine business with pleasure.
I'm afraid not, Jack.
But, Bing, I mean, this is a chance to pick up some extra money. And that never hurts, you know.
Oh, no, it's spending that hurts, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. It doesn't bother me.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Well, Mary Livingston.
Well, get a load of her all decked out like Mrs. Astor's horse. Listen, Mary, you never get all dressed up like that on my program.
Well, how often do I sit on Bing Crosby's lap?
Well, you're not on Crosby's lap.
Wait till I get rolling.
Mary, just kidding, Bing. Nothing will happen.
You keep out of this.
Fine. Listen, I've been thinking of this for years, and I might as well come right out and say it. What do all the women see in Bing Crosby? Look at him. Hey, he's got blue eyes like mine, though. Blue eyes like mine.
You can stop there, brother.
Mary, all I want to know is, did you go to the Musicians Union and pay my dues?
Yes.
All right, Mary, where's my card?
Here.
Just a minute, this isn't a musician's card.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. They transferred you to the Plumbers Union.
The Plumbers Union?
Your plunger arrives tomorrow.
What?
I can't wait to hear your first solo. You'll be asleep on the beat, huh?
Is your imagination getting tuned up? Good. Now, radio pioneered most of the kind of shows you see on television today. Humor, for example, breaks down into two basic formats, the variety show and the situation comedy. Both forms reached a peak in radio. I asked George Burns to select a favorite episode of the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show from his own personal collection.
As the new half-century gets underway, the favorite pastime seems to be choosing the outstanding men of the last half-century. Magazines and newspapers have published their selections, but Gracie seems to think one important name has been omitted.
Thomas Edison, Winston Churchill. How can they pick men like that to head the list?
I'm interested to know, Gracie, who's your choice?
Need you ask, George? I'm thinking of a man whose glorious, romantic voice has thrilled millions.
The birds are sweetly singing and perfume flowers are bringing in the wind.
A man whose charm and talent are world famous.
Gracie, this is getting embarrassing.
Only one man should top this list, Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer?
Mm-hmm.
You put him ahead of Edison?
Yep.
Edison invented electric lights.
With Boyer, who needs them?
Gracie, there's some pretty great men on this list.
Not as great as Boyer. But look at these names. Arturo Toscanini, conductor. How do you like that? A man who punches transfers.
He happens to be a musical conductor.
All right, so he hums while he punches transfers.
Dardanella.
Yeah, here's another one, Einstein. Now, what did he do?
Einstein? Yes. What did he do?
Uh-huh.
He's the father of relativity.
Oh, what does she do?
Relativity Einstein?
Yeah.
She's with Warner Brothers. You know, Gracie, for a minute there, instead of Boyer, I thought that you thought that I belonged on that list of great men.
Oh, well, you see, George, you're my husband, and I don't think of you as a man.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I don't think of you as a man who does anything.
Thanks again.
I mean, I don't think of you as a man who does anything romantic.
A triple thanks and stop thinking about it.
Now I've hurt your feelings. And I didn't mean to, George. You know, I'd rather be married to you than any man on this list. Churchill, Edison, Stalin, Hitler.
You have just earned my fourth thank you.
When you think of the golden age of radio, you're bound to remember the performer whose hold on the heartstrings of America spanned almost three generations, vaudeville to radio and then to television. When he died, a whole nation mourned his loss.
I love to spend each Sunday with you, ask friend of friend. I'm sorry it's through. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too.
Eddie Cantor, of course. Now, very early in the development of radio came two characters called Sam and Henry. Once the name was changed to Amos and Andy, a new national pastime was invented. Well, I can remember walking past motion picture theaters in the 30s and seeing the signs that promised to stop the movie and turn on the radio when it came Amos and Andy time.
You know, Andy, it's a great thing for us, this job with the construction company.
Oh, yeah, and I like that Mr. Carter, the head of the company. He sure was nice to us when he gave us the tools this morning.
Oh, yeah, he is a real gentleman. I tell you, I never... I'll get it. Hello, George Kingfish Stevens speaking.
Hello, this is Mr. Carter of the Carter Construction Company.
Oh, yes, Mr. Carter, how's you this evening?
See here, what are you and Brown trying to pull? Why didn't you show up on that porch-wrecking job this morning?
Well, you see, excuse me, you said something about slowing up on that porch-wrecking job.
Why didn't you and Brown show up on that porch-wrecking job?
Well, Miss Carter, excuse me, we got a bad disconnection here.
Can't you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can hear what you were saying, but I know you ain't saying what I is hearing.
Hello? Hello?
Look, Miss Carter, the phone's all messed up here. I tell you what, I'll hang up and you call me right back.
Very well.
What's the trouble, Kingfish?
Oh, I don't know, Andy. The phone is messed up or my ears done jammed up on me. You take the call when the man calls back.
Okay, wait a minute. Hello, Andy Brown speaking.
Oh, it's you, Brown. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You coming through fine.
Good.
Now, what is it you want to tell me?
I want to know why you and Stevens didn't show up to wreck that porch this morning.
Hold the phone. Kingfish, get back on here. This man is all confused.
Hello, Miss Carter. Stevens back on here.
Look, Stevens, what's going on? You and Brown are completely confused.
We is confused. You is the one that's confused. We spent the whole day today wrecking the porch over at 4565 Amsterdam Avenue.
4565 Amsterdam Avenue? That's fine.
Well, thank you, sir.
That's just great.
Yeah, we thought it was a nice job, yeah.
The porch you were supposed to wreck was at 666 Riverside Drive.
Miss Carter, is you there?
Yes.
Well, Miss Carter, this time let's both hang up and don't nobody call nobody back.
That's all the time we have for this week. Sorry to Dr. Hugamy, we ran out of time and we'll have him on the next show. I hope you enjoyed our first show, and if you did, be sure to tune in next week. If you didn't, there is absolutely nothing I can do about it. I want to give thanks to Luke Dakotis, Marie Cassidy, Victor Borga, and of course Dizzy Gillespie, and you. If you want to stay in touch, follow us on Instagram at johnny.athens and on Facebook at Johnny Athens Entertainment. This program is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. Take care and good night.
Sal peanuts. Sal peanuts.
The name of the
sal peanuts.